This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
He perished from that. I know there's a neder. I don't want to do an issur. What would be so wrong with that? And they say because it goes via him. If she's going to eat the pears, he gets the pears. There's nothing you can do about that. That's the mechanism. You give the girl the goof, the husband gets the pears. He can give the pears back to her, but that's already, he's already unknown. He's giving it as a gift. So he's in trouble. What's his way out? He wants to give his daughter money, but he can't. He doesn't want the husband to get hold of it.
What pears are here involved? Because the father gives her 100
money, investment, investment. The husband can insist that it's invested.
Well, if father doesn't insist on investment, it doesn't give any pears.
But then he's given her the pears. If he doesn't insist on investment, then he's given her the pears.
He would give her pears, but the money has no
money. Money always has pears. Pears is potential. Pears is potential earning. That's what pears means. Pears doesn't mean the actual pears. Pears means you have a tree. The pears of the tree means the fruit which the tree will give in the future.
Okay, but
so any money is.
I just use tree as a firewood. So what pears are we talking about?
You're not allowed to use it. If somebody else has a shibud on the pears, you're not allowed to use the tree for firewood. It's not yours. It's not fully yours. You're in partnership. So you've got one party has the right to pears. You can't consume it. You can't consume something for which somebody else has the right to pears.
Okay.
So the father's in trouble. What does he do? I'm giving this to you, my daughter, as a gift. I'm giving this to you on condition, and he says two phrases. Your husband has no rights in it. You must use it for food. That's what he says. So now the machlik is Rav and Shmuel. That's very specific. What the Mishnah says is dafke. That's dafke. It has to be that very loshen. I'm giving this to you for what you might eat. But if you're just going to use a general phrase, do with it as you please, my daughter, and your husband can have no right in it, the Baal gets it. You can't just make it snide that the husband doesn't get it. And it's neither that you can do with it as you please is the same as saying the husband has no rights in it. You can do anything with it. The husband can't have any rights in it. That's exactly the same. You can't exclude the husband. The husband automatically gets those rights. You cannot exclude him from them. The only way you can exclude him is if you say it's for food. And the run brings two days as to whether it has to be specifically food or it could be anything specific. So the one there is it has to be specifically food because the moment she puts it in her mouth, she's kone. By that time, the husband can't get any benefit from him. So it's a trick. That's the only way he can give his daughter a gift is to give it to her as food. It becomes the daughter's the moment she puts it in her mouth. By that time, the husband can't be zoke. It has no value anymore. And that's the way he can give her a gift. The second sheet that the Ran gives, which is the first sheet that nobody else holds by, the second sheet is the main sheet that most Rishonim hold by, which is that he's only giving her specific usage. So if you look at the run at the end of the run, four lines from the bottom at the end of the line in the run, Avali Omalo Elo Mashat Miskase Vhyitzabilo Mahani Vakani Yasun Bal. In that the first way the run is learned, if she says you can use this for clothing, the husband gets it. It doesn't work. The Ikamanda Aman, this is the main shita, to who adin bashiyichton lo la eze dovashiyyeh. This is just an example. Use it for food. You can use it for clothes. You can use it for going to the movies. You can use it for whatever you want to. And we'll analyze what that means. Says the Ran, because he didn't give her the total thing. He just gave her the rights to use it. And that the Baal doesn't have to get. That the rights to use doesn't have pears. So this, Yosef, is like you were saying. This is a case where there are no pears. I've just given you the rights to use it. I haven't given you a grip. I haven't given you a tree. I've given you the shade of the tree. I've given you the right to sit under the tree's shade. There are no pears. If there are no pears, the husband doesn't get anything from that, and she gets the whole. She can keep it. Says the Ran. So that's how the mission. That's how the mission says. Omar Rav, what's the machlok is Rav and Shmuel? So Rav says that's what she's got. He's got to say he's got to be miyached. It doesn't have to be according to the second sheet of the Ran. It doesn't have to be for food. It could be for anything. But he's got to be miyached. He's got to give her a specific use. I'm giving this to you to use for this and that. However, Shmuel says, Shmuel Omer, Afilu Omer Mashitid Tziasi Loikona Yasun Baal. He can even make a very general condition and say, I'm giving this to you to do with as you please. Explains the Ran. What is the machlokis Rav and Shmuel? Says the Ran, there's no machlokis in the perish of the Mishnah. The perish of the Mishnah is like Rav. The Mishnah says you cannot make a general exclusion, you can only be very specific, give it to her, give her the rights to use it, but not the object itself. Why? Because the Mishnah holds, like Rabbi Meir, that Yad Isho Ki Yad Baila. A woman's hand is like her husband. She's an extension of her husband when it comes to acquisition. And anything she acquires, he immediately acquires for payers. There's no transaction that takes place. The moment she acquires, it's automatically the payers belong to him. So how can it? So what does Shmuel say? How can you make a condition at all? Says Shmuel, I hold not like Rabbi Meir. I hold that Ein Yad Isho Ki Yad Baila. Which means that although a Yad Isho is Kiyad Bailo in the case of Hefker, if she picks up a Mitzia, then it goes straight to her husband. If there's a Das Acheres Makne, if somebody is being Makne with specific verbalized intention to exclude the husband, he can do that. It doesn't mean, Yad Isho Kiyad Bailo doesn't mean that it can never be, that she can never acquire. Ain kinyan leisha b'loy b'alo. He says that's not so. Yesh kinyan leisha b'loy b'alo. There is a hechitimsa. There is a possibility of a kinyan leisha b'loy b'alo. What is that hechitimsa? In a case where a person specifically gives it to her with a tznai excluding the husband, in that particular case. What's interesting, according to the Ran, is that the tznai, the tznai of the exclusion, works either way. So this is an important shita in the Ravid, which we're going to have to use in the whole sugya. The Ravid says there is no difference between saying, on condition your husband has no rights in it, or saying you can do with it as you please. Those two are equal tanoim, is the shita of the Ravid. And the Ran holds that way too. So it doesn't matter you're excluding the husband. And the only reason that works, according to the Ravid and according to the Ran, is because we don't hold like Rabbi Meir. We hold that there is a woman can have independent acquisition. So that's the shita of the Rabbonin, is that the woman can have independent acquisition. But if you hold like Rabbi Meir that a woman cannot have independent acquisition, then this tznai will not work. You would have to give a specific shimush, you would have to give a specific usage of the object, but not the object herself. There's no way she can be kone an object, excluding her husband's right to payers. That's not possible according to Rabbi Meir. It's only possible according to the Rabbonin. And if it's, we're going like the Rabbonin, you don't need both to know. You don't have to say your husband doesn't have rights in it, and you can do with it as you please. Either one will work. That's what's important according to the Ran and the Ravid. We'll see in the Rambam, it's not so at all. The Rambam says quite clearly, do we have any Rambams handy? The way the Ravid is explaining, the Ravid and the Ran are explaining Shmuel.
That he's passing Shmuel.
Well, we'll come into the Pesach. No, the Ravid actually passes like Rav. We'll come into how they pass him. He's just saying, according to Shmuel, to say either one of those Tznoim would be sufficient. Yes, you're excluding the husband, but you're allowed to exclude the husband because yesh leisha kinyan b'loy b'alo. It's feasible. There is a situation where the kinyan isha b'loy b'alo. The Rambam paskens is halacha in a few different places, and we'll see them. But the one area that works is in Zechiyo Matona halacha Perek Gimel, where the Rambam says, if you give a gift to an Isho, Amanash in the Baila Rishus, Ule Evid Amanash in the Rabbi Bola Rishus, and an Evid as well, don't worry about the Evid for now. Kono Ha'odin V'Kono Habal. So you see already the Rambam is not paskening like Shmuel, Alibed, the Ravid, and the Ram. Because he's saying one Tznai won't work. Remember last week we noticed these words, begufo shel matzono, that's only the Rambam uses that term, and it's crucial to the Rambam's understanding of the sugya. If you put the tznai in the body of the matzono, not in the conditions, you're not saying here is money, it's yours, and now there are a list of conditions. That won't work. But what I'm giving you is a list of conditions. It's not. I'm not giving you money. I'm giving you conditional money. I'm giving you rights to money. That will work. Then loikon el habal. Ketzad. Hanoisin maton leisha v'malo harayam olosayin nusulinach b'maton amar shitoichli boim v'tishdi behin. I'm giving you this on condition you eat it or drink it, or amenashi tilbashi boim, or that you wear it, or amenashi tasi boim mashi tilzi b'loirushus balech. Different gizah. Or, and remember, we had difficulty with this Rambam last week. In the Frankel Rambam, the Girsa is different, and it ties in. The Frankel Rambam's Girsa ties into the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim. So it works quite well. That's why we can't mess with it. Or he gives a third possibility: do with it as you please. So the Rambam is absolutely clear. You can say to a woman, "He has money." The father can say to the woman, "He has money. You do with it as you please. You don't have to mention the husband." Or you can say, "He has money." Sorry, you have to mention that. You can't just say, "Do with it as you please." You've got to say, "Vita nos mikuf shem atzona. I'm not shetirti mitishi b'him. I'm not shetirti b'him. I'm not shetati b'him. I'm shetirti b'loy rishus balech." So you've got to add in b'loy rishus balech. You need both of them. And the Ravid says, "Why do you need both of them? They mean exactly the same. If you say, here's money, do with it as you please, that means the Baal has no rishus. If you say, I'm giving you money, the Baal has no rishus, that means you can do with it as you please. Why does the Rambam need both?" Ask the Ravid, and he doesn't answer it. Why does the Rambam need both?
Because the presumption is so strong.
But they mean the same thing. They mean exactly the same thing. If they mean the same thing, why the need for both? What are you adding? Okay, let's see what they do mean something slightly different. Let's see what it is that they mean. The Ravid holds that they mean exactly the same. The Ran holds they mean exactly the same. And therefore, if you would paskin like Shmuel, if we were to paskin like Shmuel, then he could say, according to the Ran and the Ravid, you could say one or the other. According to the Ran and the Ravid, we don't paskin like Shmuel. Certainly according to the Ravid, we don't paskin like Shmuel, we paskin like Rav. But how does the Rambam paskin? How would you say the Rambam's paskining? It's quite interesting. If you take the Ravid as an axiom that Almanacha in Lebale Khushus and Almanacha Tasi Bohemashi Tirzi, if you take that as an axiom that they're equal, then the Rambam is not passing in like Shmuel. Do you agree? If you hold that the two statements mean the same and the Rambam says you have to say them both, he's not passing in like Shmuel because Shmuel says you only need one. So if you have to learn the Gemara for whatever reason, as the Rambam does, that Shmuel means all you have to say is one or the other, then the Rambam is not passing like Shmuel. And the Kesef Mishnah in Zechir Matana says the Rambam is passing like Rav. Strangely, the Migdal Oiz in Hilchas Nedarim says the Rambam is passing like Rav, not like Shmuel. Everybody else says the Rambam is passing like Shmuel. Why? Because the Rambam says you don't have to give it specific usage. Rav says it's got to be specific. But the Rambam goes further and says you can say a generality. That works too. That's not Rav. That's clearly Shmuel. Why do you need the two? Why do you need both the Amanachi in Lebalet Hushus and Amanachi Tirti Masha Tasi? So we were learning the Sugya, and when was it yesterday, Moshe, or the day before, and the and the way Moshe learned it, we touched on it also in the last Chabura. The Rambam learns the Gemara differently. How did we say the Ran learns the Gemara? The Ran learns the Gemara that the Mishnah is, Rav explains the Mishnah, nobody disagrees with that. Shmuel says, but the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir and I hold like Rabbon. But there's no machlokas in the parish of the Mishnah. The Rambam learns the chilek in the parish of the Mishnah. And that's why the Rambam's statement of Beguf HaDover is so important. Because that's the Mishnah's chidush. The Mishnah's chiddush is you've got to make a tznai beguf hadover. Your tznai must create a gift of such a kind that there are no payers for the husband. It's not that you give money and then you make an external tznai. Says the Rambam, that will never work. But if your tznai creates a new gift that has no payers, that will work, says the Rambam. Machlokes Rav Shmuel is, what does that tznai look like? So Rav says that tznai means you give specific usage. You can use this for food. That's a tznai beguf hadover. The Shmuel says, no, it's even a tznai beguf hadover if you say mashi tirtzi. And here we'll come on to your point, Mark. What is the difference? What is mashi tirtzi? The Kesef Mishnah explains, and the Beis Yosef in Tur explains it. What is mashi tirtzi? When you, my daughter, decide what you want to spend this money on, that triggers the usage of this money. You don't have it until you've decided what you want. Right? So now, the money is here, it's not yours, it's mine. Masha Tirtzi, the moment you walk past the store and you say, that's a beautiful dress, I would like to buy it, at that point the money is yours for the dress. That's all. That's all you've given the money for. So just as I could say, I'm giving this money to you for food, I'm giving this money to you for drink, I can also say to you, I'm giving this money for whatever you, with your own decision, decide to spend it on. Which is quite interesting. That means that yad isho ki yad bailo does not mean that a woman doesn't have a brain. Doesn't mean that she can't make choices. It just means she can't be zoicha. So when he's speaking to her, he's not speaking to the husband. He's not saying masha tilsi and yad isho ki yad bailo. That means what the husband wants. No. An isho is an independent woman. She's an independent being. She has her own rotzo. Masha tilsi, she can make choices. And I'm just giving her such. The only problem is she can't be zoicha. She's got a problem with her yad, not with her brain. Her yad belongs to the husband. But if what I'm giving her doesn't go through the yad, it goes through her choice, goes through her head. The moment she chooses, it becomes hers. Kind of doesn't go through the yad. She's just getting the rights to use my money to buy herself a dress. It's my money, not hers. Never becomes hers. If the money became hers, he would get it. It's my money. I'm giving you the right to buy food, to buy clothing, or to buy whatever you want when you make that decision that you wanted.
So
and that's called gufadolim. Yes.
So he has rights to more than just the payers? As soon as she gets the $100, it's his, or it's just the payers?
Only the payers are his, but his locking into the payers makes her unable to use it, to consume it.
Oh, because he can insist.
He can insist that it's invested. Yes, he can insist that it's invested.
She keeps the principal, but he tells her.
Right, right. He manages her assets.
So
basically, he has the rights of management.
So she's now the happy owner of a dress.
Right.
That's the principle. There's no payers out of a dress.
Yes, no payers out of a dress.
She owns the dress.
Right. The question would be, what would happen if she says, you know what I would have spent it on? I would have spent it on 50 Microsoft chairs. Okay, that would be a problem. Then probably the payers would still go. Maybe she's got the right to buy the Microsoft shares herself, but the payers would have to go to the husband.
Transfers her the rights to buy food, and she only acquires the food when she consumes the food, so the food is gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she transfers the $100 into a dress, so now she owns a dress, and he can say, can I give me the dress? I'm going to sell it on the free market.
Yeah, it seems that he can't say that. It seems that once she's got an object that was given to her for usage, she basically was given the purse.
Transferred to a dress.
No,
right.
The point that transfer didn't happen until the dress was bought.
Yeah. So now that the dress is bought, he can say, okay, now give me the dress.
He doesn't. He can't make her sell her clothing. He can't make her sell her furniture. The things that she owns, she owns. He can only use the rights. So if she has furniture which is not used in the house, it's rented furniture. It's furniture which they rent out. He can insist that he gets the income from the rental, but he can't take. If she comes in with fortunes of clothes or as many shoes as Mrs. Marcos had in the Philippines, he can't say, sell the shoes and I want the pairs. Sell the shoes. If she opens a shoe shop, then he can have the revak from the shoe shop. So let's go a little bit further. So we understand now what the Rambam shita in the sugya in the Dorim, and we understand the Ran's shita in the sugya in the Dorim. The Raiva learns like the Ran, and we've got the Rambam. What about the Shulchan Aruch? Well, firstly, what about the Psak? Who do we pass in like Rav Shmuel? Very important. So Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos and Kiddushin says we pass in like Rav. Why? Because the halacha is that in matters of Isu Vehetzer we pass in like Rav, in matters of Mominus we pass in like Shmuel. And since the sugya is in the Dorim, we pass in like Rav, like by Isurim, and that's how we pass in. So we pass in like Ravi Meir, and it's Ali Bederav. Sorry? It's a Mominus issue. It's a Mominus issue as well, says Rabbeinu Tam. But since the discussion is around the Dorim and Mominus is the outcome, we'll treat it as Isurim. The Rambam paskins like Shmuel, so clearly the Rambam holds, and so do all the Goyim. But Sadia Goyim, Rav Amram Goyim, all hold like Shmuel. So they learn the Goyim and the Rif learn the Goyim, the Rif, and the Rambam learn that this is about Mominus, this is about Kinyonim, this is about a Yadisha, this is not about the Dorim. Once we know the Yesodus of a Yadisha, we can paskin the Dorim. But what we're dealing with, even though the sugya comes in, it's quite an interesting way of looking at Shas. The Rabbi Natan looks at it and says, what are we discussing right here? The Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, they were busy discussing the Dorim, so on that we've got to go like Rav. The Rambam says, yes, they're discussing the Dorim, but the Dorim is a branch of a Yesod in Kenya. So we've got to treat it as Mominus, and we've got to paskin like Shmuel. So the Rambam paskins like Shmuel, as we see, as do the Goyim and the Rif. Rabbi Natan, the Rosh, the Tur, paskin like the like Rav.
But
is Bennett Tom saying that since the phraseology of the Mishnah is Amadir Hanar, therefore it follows that we pass him like Rav? Or is he, however, if it had been a case of saying there was no Amadir Hanar, but there was a simple Matana case, then Enachanami that would be a case of Shmuel, even if because the Mishnah's phrase.
Yeah, it would be, I suppose, the way Rebbe brought, where Rebbe brought the sugya. Rebbe brought the sugya in the Dorin, although it could be applied and is applied in other parts of Shas. The Machlokes Rav Shmuel, not Rebbe, Ravina and Ravashi decide to record the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel in the Dorin, and therefore that Ravina and Ravashi are telling us that this isn't, that the Yisoid here is the Hether, is Yisurim, and we must pass him like Rav. Would be the way Rabbi Natan would learn.
It is only because the sugya is discussing the Dorim.
Yes. Rav and Shmuel are discussing it in the Dorim. And from there we learn the rest.
So you're saying even if the case is not the Dorim, but since we've constructed the case.
Great point. Everybody seems to say yes. Once we've passed like Rav, that's how it is. And it's like that anywhere, even in Mormonus, except the Shulchan Aruch himself. The Shulchan Aruch himself paskins like Rav. But in the Dorim, paskins like Shmuel, exactly like the Rambam, quotes the Rambam all over, except in the Dorim, he brings a Yeshomrim like Rav. So how does it work then in the Dorim? He says in the Dorim, he brings the first halacha is, even if you say a general thing, if you say, Almanashe Tasibo Mashe Tirtzi, that would work and the husband would get nothing. But that's Kula in the Dorim. So he's Machmir in the Dorim to say, no, if you say it like that, the husband still has it, and it's an Isur Hanor. The only way to do it is to be specific and to say Amanachi Tilbashi Amanachi Shetishti or Shetoshti. So he brings the Yeshomrim, and we paskin like the Yeshomrim in the Shulchan Aruch. It means the Shulchan Aruch's main day is everywhere else I paskin like Shmuel, but in the Dorim by Isur Veheter I paskin like Rav Lechumra. So the Shulchan Aruch actually splits it, which is interesting. So now let's move into Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi. So now we understand by Isha, we understand what's involved, and let's now see, can we simply apply the same principles to Yad Eved? The Gemara in Kiddushin seems to imply absolutely yes, because the Gemara in Kiddushin, that's the whole sugya there. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. So the Mishnah on which this Gemara goes on the previous daf, the Mishnah is talking about how an Eved can be Kone himself with money. How does that work? If he can't possess money, how can he be Kone himself Bekesef? So there's a Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Chachomim. Rabbi Meir says it has to be somebody else's money. He actually can't be Kone himself with money. So remember Rabbi Meir, who holds Yad Isha Ki Yad Baila, holds also Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi. And therefore, the moment you put money into the Eved's hands, it belongs to the Rebbe. So there's no way the Eved can buy himself out. Somebody else has to buy the Eved out. So somebody else has to go to the Rebbe and say, here's $10,000. I want your Eved to go free. If you agree, then your Eved goes free. But he can't do it. He's not able to do it. He doesn't have a Yad. The Chachomim say he can do it. He can use his own money. How does he do it? So that's the sugya over here. How does he do it? Says this is the Gemara in the middle of Chav Gimel Amud Beis.
So the Mishnah in Dorim was Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Meir.
And he says that there is a case when Eved actually, the Isha has actually money.
According to Shmuel. If you learn like the Rambam. Hmm? Well, no, because she doesn't get money. According to the Mishnah in the Dorim, she never gets the money. She just gets the right to use it for a specific thing, but she can never get the money. According to the Mishnah.
Similar case, if Eved gets the money only to get
that's
the money
our question. That's our question. That's our question. Uvivadshi akesif mishel acherim, says the Gemara, neima b'hok hamifligi. The first assumption is that this is the machlokes. The Rabbi Meir sova in kinyan Eved b'loy Rabbi. Rabbi Meir says there is no way that an Eved can ever be kone anything, and therefore there's no way he can use his own money. Vein kinyan l'isho b'loy bailo, just as an isho doesn't have a kinyan b'loy bailo. And Rashi says over here, we're not talking about isho. It just brings it in to link the two together. So we see clearly the Gemara in Kiddushin, there's a chidush apart from the Gemara itself, there's a chidush that Isha and Eved are treated the same.
V'rabbonan savri, yesh kinyan le'evet b'le rabbi v'yesh kinyan le'ish b'le ba'la. It's all very well. If an isha is zoicha from hefker, then it belongs to the husband. But if the isha is zoicha from a das acheris, if somebody else is maknet her with the intention that it belongs to her and not to the husband, she can be koino. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Sheshis. The first, we're going to deal with two views here, Rav Sheshis and Rav Elozo. Says Rabbu in the name of Rav Sheshis, Dukuli alma en kinyan le'evet b'loi rabbi v'en kinyan le'isha b'loi ba'la. Now, everybody agrees that an isha, just like an isha cannot be koino, so an eved cannot be koino. There's an articulated t'nai. I'm giving you this money on condition that your owner has no rights in the money. Now the Eved owns the money according to the Chachomim and can use the money to buy himself out. According to Rabbi Meir, he cannot. Rabbi Meir sova ki omar lekni. Let's see. Rabbi Meir sova ki omar lekni. The moment he says to the Eved, he has money. Kani Eved v'kani Rabbi. At that moment, it like a lightning rod, it goes back to the owner, and it's not the Eved. When he says amanat, it's too late. It already belongs to the other. There's no time for conditions. The Rabbonim say, no, I'm giving this to you on condition, since there is a way that an Eved can be koina, not just by a Da'as Acheris. That wouldn't be sufficient. But if the Da'as Acheris actually articulates the exclusion of the Rebbe, that Tnai will work, is the way Rabbah wants to know. In parallel with the Isha, according to Shmuel, the way the Ran learns him. Right? Where the Ran said, one Tnai is enough. Yes, according to Shmuel, and we said there that Shmuel, according to the Ran, is not, the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and Shmuel is disagreeing with that. Shmuel is going like the Rabbonin, exactly as the Gemara says here. That means that one Tnai is enough. You can exclude husband or owner just by saying so. Here's a gift on condition the husband or the owner doesn't have any rights in it. That's how Rav Sheshis learns. That's how Rav Sheshis learns the Rabbonin.
And the fact that Kule Alma entering the Rabbi?
Means without the Tnai. So there are three stages. The one is, no matter what, he can't be koine. One is, he can be koine if there's an articulated tnai. Yeah. And the havamina was, if there's a da'at acheris, he can be koine even without an articulated tnai, and that we've rejected.
Rabbi Elozo Amar, kol ki hai gavna dekul ma lov shigi dekane evad vekane rabbi. This tnai doesn't work, says Rabbi Elozo. Everybody agrees that just to exclude the husband, or the father won't, or the owner won't work. V'achu b'maskina kagun de'akne le'acher monev omer le'almanah shetetzeh bo l'cheiros. Here, there's specific intent. Here's the money, not on manat that your owner doesn't have any rights in it, but al manat that you use it for cheirus. So that's like giving it to the woman for clothing or for food. Rabbi Meir says even this doesn't work. There's no with an eved. The question is what will be with an isha, but with an eved, no tnai will work. And so the tnai doesn't work. The Rabbanan Savri, Ledidei Nami Holoko Maknile, he didn't really give him full rights to it. Because he said, I'm giving you this money for one specific purpose. So you've only got usage of the money. I didn't give you the money. I gave you usage of the money. Usage, you can be koine. And Eved can be koine the rights to it. He can't be koine the Gufadoro. Is the way Rav Elozo learns Chachomim.
But someone else comes to my Eved and says, you could use this money to get yourself free, only to get yourself free. Well, don't mess in my affairs.
Very interesting question. So you've got to say, according to Rav Elozo, an Eved is somewhat like an Isha, in that he's an independent human being with a brain and a rotzon of his own. He just doesn't have a yad. His hands are yours, not his head. It's an interesting idea in others, that even though he's an Eved Kenani, his hands are yours, his labor is yours, his right to be koine is yours, but not his head. And therefore he can engage in conversation with somebody else, and he can even transact in something that isn't physical. Which is a chiddush, Yerad is a chiddush, but that's how Rav Elozo learns Avdus, which is very, very interesting. So even in the case of Avdus, we will still say he's an independent human being who has certain capacities. He just doesn't have the capacity to sell his labor or to acquire assets.
So the husband is like uh,
survivors said that what kept them sane was that they can't own my mind.
Yes.
They want with me, but they can't control my mind.
To know that no matter what state of avidus you're in, Nelson Mandela said it a little differently. He said that they can't own my dignity. I'm Balabosavim. I can choose whether to give away my dignity or not. Even an Eved has some independence, and that's what just talks about what an Odom is. At the end of the day, an Eved is an Odom. He's not a Behemah. An Eved is an Odom. And an Odom has some independence.
Isn't the reason why an Eved is not tied to the Kedusha is because he's subservient to his master, so we can't expect him to do the mitzvah essays, the shizman brahma, the
Kedusha. Because his time is subservient. Because his time is part of his assets, and time is part of his labor.
It's not a function of the state of being, that he's basically...
almost like he doesn't have time, and therefore there's no God.
Yeah, he doesn't...
Yeah, but it's Tommy the Kedusha.
If you're looking at the time and you're comparing him to an Isha, then you're comparing him to an Isha. But an Isha, we just learned, also has das of her own. She doesn't have, her time is not her own, and an Eved's time is not his own, for different reasons. And maybe that's why neither have a mitzvah tashi shel zman grama, because their time is not theirs.
But the case even over here, ultimately the Rav has, I mean the master, the Adam has the final say. I mean, it's only,
yes, he can choose not to accept it. Absolutely.
But is there a case, an analogous case to the womb where somebody says, here, use this money to buy yourself clothes or whatever?
That is the big catch that we're going to deal with now. So now the question is this specific to Cheirus? When the Gemara says that, so the only we come back and we kind of stay with this is that the Chachomim are saying, provided you sell Manashe Tetzibur L'Cheirus, the owner gets no rights in it. It belongs to the Eved, whatever the it is. Is that Dafka Cheirus, or is this just another example of a specific use? And if an outsider came and said, here's some money, Eved, buy yourself some food, would the owner automatically get that, or does the Eved? That's the next thing that we've got to look at. Once he has Cheirus.
Right, so the money, the use of the money might be the person who's giving the money, we're inferring and making some assumptions, but if it's for Cheirus, it's for him to become a Jew. And maybe that's the reason why for Cheirus, you're alive.
Well, we're going to explore Cheirus as a unique, and we might come into something similar to that. We will explore what, if Cheirus is unique, what is unique about it? Or is Cheirus just an example? Is Cheirus by the Eved equal to Masha Tilbashiv and Masha Tokli by Nisha? So the Rambam says very clearly, it's exactly the same. Which means that for an Eved, what would happen then according to the Rambam if you were to say Masha Tokli, Masha Tokavatish? It would work. A stranger can come to my Eved, can give him money to use for clothes and for food, says the Rambam. That's how the Rambam holds. Leave the Rambam aside a moment. And let's try and reason it out. The Prisha says exactly the same. The Prisha reasons it out without even quoting the Rambam. The Prisha says, Eved and Isha, it works exactly the same. What is the principle? The principle is that an Isha doesn't have a yad. Why does it work if you sell Manashe Tzotli V'tishti? Because you're not giving her a physical asset. You're giving her the right to use my physical asset, but you, the father in that case, hold on to the ownership of the asset. So it is with an Eved. An Eved can't acquire a physical asset. I'm not giving him a physical asset. I'm giving him the right to use my assets for food. I can allow an Eved to stand in the shade in my house. There's no reason that I can't do that. And so I can give the Eved the right to use my money to buy himself some food. And says the Prisha, from Svora, says the Prisha, the Eved and the Isha are treated exactly the same. Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos holds the same. I would like to just do a little bit of the re in the Tosfos to see a differing view. And the re is on Kof Dalad Amud Aleph, about halfway down the Tosfos, at the beginning of the page. Achri Oimer. So it's like Kiddushin Kof Dalad Amud Aleph, Achri Oimer. Achri Oimer De'ein Raya Loimer De'halocha Kerav Sheshes Mihohi De'nadorin Umperik Ben Sorah. You can't bring a raya from the Dorim to here, to Eved, to say that the halacha is like Rav Sheshes in Kiddushin because we paskin like Rav in the Dorim. So I'm not at this point going to go into the whole lumdus of Tosfos, although it's wonderful to go through that, and if you've got a chance, you should. The Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Ri is very beautiful and very deep. But but there's one specific chiddush that I want to extract out of Ri. And that is that you can't, says Ri, you can't draw parallels from Nedorim to Kiddushin. The Hosom Mituk Meshapir Afilu L'Rabbi Elozer D'Yesh L'Chalik L'Rabbi Elozer D'Yesh L'Chalik, because that Gemara might go like Rabbi Elozer as well. D'Yesh L'Chalik Bin Isha L'Evid. This is the point. Isha and Evid are not the same. U'matzilu L'Meimer Afilu L'Rabbi Elozer D'Ono L'Rabbi Meir. Even according to Rabbi Elozer in our Sugi and Kiddushin, who holds according to Rabbi Meir, Rafilo Amalo Amanachitebil Khairus Kono Rabbi. Rabbi Meir holds, even if you say Amanachitebil Khairus, the Rabbi gets it. There's no way at all the Eved can ever get anything according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Elozer. Right? Do you agree with that? So Rabbi Elozer says that Rabbonim say the only way it works is Amanachitebil Khairus. And what does Rabbi Meir say? Even that doesn't work. And that's why there's no way it can be with his own money. Yochali used to be Isha Leikon Habal. But it could be that that same Rabbi Meir would hold by an isha that the husband doesn't get it. Shara'inam shovin. She'en yada isha ki yada baal kemoshi yada ever ki yad rabbi. Yad isha ki yad, despite what the Gemara says over here, it doesn't mean an absolute parallel. Yad isha ki yad baalo is not as complete as yad ever ki yad rabbi. The teda. The ilu yimnoson habal matonul ishtoi. If a husband gives a wife a gift, konsul gamri. She gets the gift completely. Ve'ena baal oichel peris. And the father, the husband doesn't keep the pears, it belongs to her completely. But if an Odin gives an Eved money, he gets nothing. So you see, these are not comparable. The mechanics of the Yad Isha and the Yad Eved are not the same. There are some similar outcomes, but the mechanics are different. If you give an Eved a matona stam, with no tanoim, Zoka harav, ben beguf, ben beferus. The rav owns the whole thing. Then kinyan levet b'lo rabbi. Hanushin kinyan levet klal. V'yesh l'rav guf u'perus. V'imnos nosno acheri matona l'isha. And if an outsider, a stranger, gives a woman a gift, ein l'baal lo kiyan perus. The baal gets the perus, aval haguf shelo, but she keeps the guf. T'hod da'en kinyan l'isha b'lo baal, hainush ha'baal o'chir perus. Aval haguf l'isha v'ilokos ben karkav o'chir perus. The Alpha gav the mitzias ha'isha l'baila l'gamri. It's true, if an isha finds a mitzia out of hefker, it belongs completely to her husband. In the dam is mitzia l'matona. Mitzia and matona are completely different. B'chein mash b'birushalmi, and so he goes on. What's important according to Ri is the mechanics of yad isha ki yad baila is not the same as yad as the mechanics of yad eved ki yad rabbi. They're different, and if they're different, it is conceivable that although if he says to her, if he says to the Eved, here's money, a stranger says, here's money, that might be a specific din in Hilchus Avodim, but that does not necessarily mean that the same would apply if he says, use it to eat and drink. Maybe we can't draw that parallel. The Rambam says we can. But the Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, only brings the Cherus. He doesn't bring the other. He just brings Cherus. So in Hilchus Avodim, in Simon Reish Samach Zayin, in Yerodeh, the Shulchan Aruch just says the only way you can give an Eved something with a Tnai is if the Tnai is Almanat Shetetze B'Lecheres. That's the only way. Says the Shach in Simon Reish Samach Zayin, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean that, says the Shach. The Shulchan Aruch holds like the Prisha. Clearly, it makes no difference whether you say Almanat Shetetze B'Lecheres or Almanat Shetoichel Bo, or Shetil Bash Bo, or do whatever you want with it. According to the Rambam, you could even say Tase Mashetitze. You can go to an Eved, somebody else's Eved, and you can say, here's money, do with it as you please. That's possible, says the Shach. That's clear.
Says the Shach in the Shulchan Aruch as well.
Sorry?
Shach holds that the Shulchan Aruch holds the statement.
Yes, he would say that in the Shulchan Aruch. But when the Shulchan Aruch says, Cheirus, Tlav Dafka, Cheirus, it means, just as in Isha, early on in your day, he says that you can give it, you can, your patterns like the Rambam, the Tishimash, it's the same would apply here. The Taz says no ways. The Taz says that's completely absurd. There's no comparison between Isha and Baila. He doesn't quote the Ri, but we see that thinking already in the Ri, that an Isha doesn't, an Eved doesn't have a Yad at all. An Isha does have a Yad. And therefore I can give an Isha, if I'm Matne in the Gufa Matona, I can give it to an Isha. She can acquire that Shiva, she can acquire those rights, but an Eved can acquire nothing at all. So the Taz is left with the question, how does Cheirus work? So the Taz wants to go to the extreme and say an Eved, almost like Ri is suggesting here, an Eved cannot be Zoichet, so Yad Eved ki Yad Raboy means literally, you put it in his hand, it's in the owner's hand, whatever you put in his hand, rights, benefits, whatever you put in his hand, belongs to the owner. So how could Chayrus work? Asks the Taz. Answers the Taz, because you're not giving it to the Eved in any case. What is Amanachi Tetzah with a Chayrus? You wanted to go to him in any case, so who cares how it goes? It's irrelevant how it goes. Very neat. Except, what's the problem on the Taz? Yeah. That's not what the Mishnah says. Yeah, that would be then Rabbi Meir.
Yeah.
How does he explain? That's not the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan. Nobody asks that on the Taz. I don't understand why not. They asked on the Taz, they didn't see the Rambam, they'll see the Tzachosh and other things. But just the logic. How can you say that it goes directly, that you want it? The reason it works is because you want it to land up in the Balabos's hands. That's Rabbi Meir. So that's Rabbi Meir. Says, in that case, you could give it to the Balabos. It makes no difference if you give it to the Balabos or you give it to the Eved. It lands up in the Balabos's hands because Yad Eved, Yad Rabbi. But that's not the Chachomim in the Mishnah. The Chachomim in the Mishnah says he can use it for Kesef Al Yadei Atzmo, his own money. How can he have his own money? So Bishlomo, the way the Shach wants to learn it, you can have it with his own money, the same as an Isha can. You can give an Eved certain rights to money. You just can't give an Eved the goof of the money. But according to the Taz, that the Eved and the Ri, that the Eved gets nothing, there's no way an Eved gets anything, how do they learn the Chachomim?
I mean, isn't that
first? No, but the
first was at the end where? And how does Tosfos want to learn?
He said that it means the Rabbi Meir's Al Yedei Atzmo Rabbanan.
Oh, so you could go like Tosfos and you could say that he's really talking. It's very, very difficult to learn like that, just in terms of the chat. It's beautifully elegant, but there's a way out.
If you would have given it to the Baal, it wouldn't have worked.
According to the Chachomim, if you would have given it to the Adon,
it wouldn't have worked.
Why not?
It's Kesef Al Yedei Atzmo.
Meaning only Al Yedei Atzmo and cannot be Al Yedei Achirim. Doesn't mean cannot be Al Yedei Achirim. It just means even Al Yedei Atzmo. The Gemara goes into that a little bit, but the Pashtus, it means even Al Yedei Atzmo. So I wanted to suggest a bit of a chiddush here, which I think Rashi might be saying. And that is that when the Al Yedei Achirim is very unique, and it applies only in Hilchos Avodim. So let's go along with the Ri, that Hilchos Avodim is different. Let's go along with the with the shitter that you can't, the mechanics is completely different, and therefore, as the Taz wants to learn, if you said to an Eved, I'm giving this to you for a specific use, such as eating and drinking, it wouldn't work. You can only say, Amen Ashi Tetzah Bo L'Cheres. How does Amen Ashi Tetzah Bo L'Cheres work? So I wanted to suggest, and you can think about it, and you can email me during the week when you've got some thoughts on it, I wanted to suggest maybe it works the same way as the Gemara says further on, Gitu V'yodo Bo'in Ke'echot, because we've got the same problem with Git. The Gemara asks, how can he get a get? He hasn't got a yad. Says the Gemara, but the moment he gets the get, he gets the yad as well. And that's exactly, of course, that's learned from Sukkim, but that so we learn that the Eved, when it comes to Chayrus, and that might link to what you wanted to say before, because Chayrus makes him a Jew, maybe the way we facilitate Chayrus is different. When it comes to Chayrus, he can get his yad and his get in one simultaneous moment. It's not linear. It's not that you first get the yad, and then you've got the get, because you can't get the yad as long as you're an Eved. So it has to be simultaneous. Simultaneously, you're getting the yad and the get. If it can work with get, maybe it can work with mammon as well. If you look at Rashi at the bottom of Tov Gimel, let's look at the Rashi and then let's talk about it. Shetetze boi lecheirus. Rashi says, bottom of Tov Gimel Amud Bey, sorry, Tov Gimel Amud Bey is the very last Rashi. Shetetze boi lecheirus. Shetitnehu lerabcho befidyoncho. I'm giving you this money on condition you just have to do something to get the money. You have to give it to your Rebbe as Pidya, which means he has to accept it as Pidya. And what if you do? Then what does the Gemara say? Then it's yours. So I'm saying to you, this money can become yours if you fulfill the Tanai. The Tanai is that you give it to the Rebbe as Pidya. How can you get money? You're an Eved. You can get money at the same moment that you get Pidya. Is what I'm suggesting Rashi may be learning. So the Taz is, I love the Taz's Svora. I just have a problem with the Taz's conclusion, because it's against the Mishnah. How do you learn the Mishnah? It's just very difficult to learn it that way unless you get involved in Tosfos' way, which the Taz doesn't seem to come onto. But if we want to learn with the Taz's Sfora, just not with the way he answers the last piece. The last piece is, if an Eved can't be Zoche at all, how can it be Al Yedei Atzmo? So the Taz wants to say, because at the end it goes to the father, it goes to the owner in any case, and I'm suggesting, but that's Rabbi Meir, that's not Chachomim. But if we say that Rashi is saying that there's a tnai here, the tnai is you have to fulfill. What do you have to do? You have to hand it over to the Rebbe. The Rebbe has to accept it as pidyon, and then simultaneously the money is yours, and the money buys your pidyon. That happens simultaneously, exactly the same way as it happens as get and get. Then that could be very interesting, and that could be the way that Rashi is learning.
So you're saying that when the Acher puts the money into the hand of the Eved, there's no kinyan.
Nothing at all. Nothing's happened.
And he walks over to his Adon. At that point, he gives it over his pidyon. He's saying that's the point of...
Like any tonight. Like any tonight. This house is yours if it rains tomorrow.
Right.
When it rains, the house is yours. Until then, it's mine.
It's my money. Now give it to the Rebbe. At that point, he acquires his freedom at the very point.
Right. And if he doesn't give it to Rebbe, the money is mine, he can't use it to buy an ice cream. If the Rebbe doesn't accept it, he can't use it. The money has to come back to me, otherwise it will be gnaver.
And that's called Alide Atzma,
because it's actually his money. He does it simultaneously at that time. That's what I want to suggest.
The last words of the Mishnah that said, as your verb, that the money belongs to the Acher.
Beautiful now, isn't it? Uvad Shia Kesef Mishal Acherim, it has to be his until that last moment. It's not his money to start with. It only becomes his. The Kesef is Shal Acherim until the moment that it's converted into pidyon. At that moment, it becomes his Kesef. It's just for a split second. Because until he's free, he can't have Kesef. But at the moment of freedom, in other words, we're taking that moment of freedom and expanding it, so to say, opening it up, unpacking that moment of Cheirus, and saying, in that moment of Cheirus, two things have happened.
It's contemporaneous.
Absolutely instantaneous. Yeah.
I was thinking something along these lines, but a little different, that you don't have to come on to get the other boat. If you go back to the case of the Isha, where he gives his daughter money that she should buy herself a dress, right? Whatever she wants. It only becomes hers upon the acquisition of the dress. So the same thing over here. If he says, I'm giving you the money to buy your freedom, and then, now, the problem is that whatever he gets goes to his master.
Right.
But
he hasn't got it yet.
When does he get it? When there's an agreement to buy the freedom. Let's say you would be able to give money to your Eved to buy freedom. The master says, I'm not giving you your freedom. You can't.
The money is not yours.
Right? But when the master accepts the money for the freedom, then whose money did the master accept? Not the master's, but he accepted...
Not the outsiders, nor the master's, but the Eved's money. Absolutely right.
So it's not that it's good to be on bond debt, but it's the master's agreement to close the sale, right? It kicks in that the Eved now gets the money, and true, it may bounce back to the master, but at that point...
You might be right. It would be even better if we don't have to come onto Gita. So you're saying the exactly the same story, but you're saying you don't have to come onto Gita via the Bohinkas. It's not like any tonight. At that moment, the kicks in.
The trigger comes from the master's acceptance of the deal.
The only thing I'm using Gita via the Bohinkas echod is the simultaneity of it. Because it's not. There's not a causality. There's not a linear moment. And that's a chiddush.
So the other is just the other agreement to go ahead with the sale does not... On its own, give the Eved freedom.
He's got to be mekabel.
There has to be some kinyan made.
If the other one says no to this whole transaction, then
the money still belongs to the outsider.
Right.
The money doesn't belong to the Eved.
Agreement alone is not a kinyan.
It seems like because Rashi says, "I'm a natshe titnehu l'rabcha b'fidyon chomot." There's got to be a mesira. You've got to hand it over, and at that moment of mesira and kinyan of the money, two things happen simultaneously, is what we're suggesting. So that's why I was using Gita Vyoda being careful. So we'll see the idea of simultaneity in Hilchos Avodim, which we don't have anywhere else. That simultaneity is a chidush. We don't seem to have that anywhere else. Usually there's going to be a tznai, and the tznai fulfills. But here, the tznai, it's a vicious circle. The tznai can't be fulfilled until it's fulfilled. And when it's fulfilled, it's a no-win situation unless you accept the principle of simultaneity, which I'm suggesting we can learn from Gita V'yodim Bo'in Ke'echov. But if you can understand it without Gita V'yodim Bo'in Ke'echov, certainly good. I just want to learn through the Ksos HaChoshim before we end it off.
Can I ask on a side point that's also related to the kinyan? So you're trying to distinguish between the kinyan you're saying here that somebody, Acher, gives the money on Nas to the Frisbo versus the money gives the money, Acher gives the money on Nas to Shatoicho.
Right.
But we learned that the Odin doesn't have keys to keep his slave.
No.
He doesn't have to.
So what is the option? Slave will starve. So the option is slave will go. And
oh, he can go and he can beg. He can beg for money.
He will beg for money and he will live from this. But the Chora, according to Yosef Warai, he begged for money and somebody gives him money or food. This money or food goes directly to Odin. He cannot eat it.
Without the permission of the Odin. So the only question would be is the Odin allowed to withhold from him food and starve him? That he wouldn't be allowed to do. That would be Ritzicha. You've got to treat him. So you've got, although you don't have a chiyuv mezonos, but you can't take food out of his mouth. You can't stop him from eating. So somebody gives him food, although it might belong to the Odin, and it might belong to the Odin. According to this, according to the Taz, gives him the money. But the only way, you're right, it would come out, the only way that he can eat is if the Odin gives him permission to eat. Otherwise, he would be stealing the Odin's money if he ate, which is interesting.
If he acquires the food, and we're talking about Kesri, Ganav, you know, he's claiming the food with the base of Buddha.
Like the runs first, you would get like the runs first.
So then the Eber would only be kind of the food when he chews it, right? And he doesn't take it, he just eats it straight. So then the master never got it because by the time he got it, it was already consumed.
So that's like the runs first. Yeah, so that would be like the runs first pshat on the by the Isha as well. That the Baal can't get the peres because the moment his kernish is already it's already in her mouth and it has no value. So that you could learn it that way too. You could learn it that way too. Let's look at the Ksesa Choshen inside. So those of you, if you've got a Choshen Mishpat, you'll have the Ksesa Choshen. Resh Mem Tes Sif Kotten Aleph. So short Ksesa Choshen. Hanesim Matzon Le'Evet. So here the Shulchan Aruch says, "Anosim matan le'evet oil isho, konu ha'odin v'haba, ha'odin kono ha'guf v'haba loy kono ela ha'peres, v'ha'guf shelo." So the evet and an isho are the same, except that an isho get the baal gets peres and the odin gets the guf as well. Says the Shulchan Aruch. So you know, everything in the Ksesachoshen we've now done, so it will be easy to understand. V'anosim matan le'evet amena she'in le'rabi rishus boy. What if you given Matona to an Eved, I'm not sure in the Rabbi Rishus boy. Right? So this is like, I'm giving you Matona, I'm not sure Tase, Bermashitit. Do with it as you please. Loi Mahani. Elodim Oimel Eved, I'm not sure Tase, Bedova Meyuchat. But what happens if I say, here's the money that you should eat with it, or you should buy clothing with it? Bedova Meyuchat. Or according to the Rambam, even if you say Mashitit, Kosov Beprisha Beyoradeh, Ki Hai Gavna Mahani. So the Prisha equates Avodim to Isho. Yad Eved ki Yad Bailo ki Yad Rabbi is the same as Yad Isho ki Yad Bailo. And just as by an Isho you can give her something for a specific use, so by an Eved you can give him something as a specific use. And he would be paskening in this case. The Shulchan Aruch would be paskening, well, like the Rambam, you would be paskening like Shmuel in the case of Isho, which would be the same as Rabbi Loza here. And the Taz is chaylek on the Prisha. The chos of the lo al da shum posik loyma de mahani be eved amanat shetase bedova meyuchad. And the Taz says that the Prisha is weird because no posik has said such a thing, says the Taz. After going through his logic, he says, and no posik has said such a thing. Va'prisha de mashve eved liisha lo yidak. And the Prisha that compares the two just didn't learn the sugya carefully enough, says the Taz. Elodavke bekesef al yirei acherim hayin shenosim lo amanat sheyetzibo lecheirus. The only way it works with an Eved, if you go out the cheirus. It's interesting to see how confident these achronim were in their sforas. So when the Taz had learned it through, that Yad Eved ki Yad Isha cannot be Yad, Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi cannot be like Yad Isha ki Yad Bailo, they're two different concepts. When he finished learning that way, there was no way the Prisha could be right. So who cares if it's he's not intimidated by the Prisha. It's wrong. And the Prisha didn't think carefully enough. That's how confident they were in the power of their logic. And that's not because they were arrogant, chas v'shalom, they were very, very humble people. But they knew the power of their logic. The Ein List in the Eved Klumayisha says the Ksos HaChoshen, V'ne'la mimenu divrei HaRambam. But the Taz didn't see the Rambam. He forgot the Rambam. This is the Rambam. If you just say Amanat, but he doesn't have Rishus, then the owner gets it. Whether it's an Isha or an Eved, and you make a Tznai in the Gufa Matzona,
loikona ha'odun v'loikona ha'bal. So clearly, just as with an isha, you can say, do with it as you please, so with an eved, you can say, do with it as you please, as long as you also say, and your owner won't have any rishus in it. And the shach also agrees with the prisha. So Taz, get back into your box. This is the prisha is right, the shach is right, there's a Rambam to support them. And just in conclusion, I've been troubled a little bit by this v'ne'la mimena divra harambam. What does it mean? The Taz didn't know the Rambam? So what is the Ksos HaChoshen saying? This Ksos HaChoshen is so important that Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes it on Shulchan Aruch. So what Rabbi Akiva, what the Ksos is saying to you is, don't try and figure out how the Taz learned the Rambam. Don't waste your time. How did the Taz learn the Rambam? The Taz didn't learn the Rambam. So that's the chiddush of the Ksos HaChoshen. Don't waste time on how the Taz. The Chaim Shmuel Levitz used to say, when Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves something with a Tzoret Iyun, don't waste your time trying to answer it. What Rabbi Kivagi means is, if you have the same kasha as I have, you've learned wrong, because there is no answer to this kasha. When Rabbi Kivagi says tzorichiyun, it doesn't mean you might figure it out. It means there is no answer. So you've got to go back to basics. When the Ksos HaChoshen is saying is, don't try and figure out how the Taz learned the Rambam. The Taz didn't learn the Rambam. So the question was, what does that mean? The Taz didn't learn the Rambam. So it's interesting. Firstly, you know, they didn't have Sforim as easily available as we have. And they didn't have indexes, and they didn't have computer things. And we assume that they all were amazing Bekim. Well, they were Bekim and Shas. They knew Shas, and probably Rashi and Tosfos. They knew inside out that every... He quotes, but it's possible, you see in the Ksos HaChoshen, it's possible that while he was busy on the sugya, he didn't think of that Rambam. And he didn't see a reference to it. How could it be that he doesn't think of that Rambam while he's busy on the sugya? How could that be? So I think you've got to look at it this way. You've got to say, when an Achrim has an overarching world view on a sugya that doesn't leave place for a particular day. It's just not possible. That's why he says with the Prisha lay back. There's no way to learn. He is so clear in the way he sees the whole sugya. It's possible not to think of the Rambam, because it just doesn't fit in. If you have the Rambam in front of you, then you would have to deal with it. But what does the Ksos HaChoshen mean? V'ne'la mimen. V'ne'la means he never learnt it. At the time he was busy in the sugya, he didn't think of that Rambam. Because their overview of the sugya was so clear. Now when we learn the sugya, we learn the Taz's day, and the Shas day, and we learn the Shulchan Aruch, and we learn Ri and David. When they learned, they saw one way of seeing it. That was their way. They went back to basics, saw the sugya. It was complete. There was shlemus, there was clarity. And there's no place to think, does the Rambam say something different? Do I remember? It can't be that anybody says anything different. Either Prisha says different, Prisha Loidak. The interesting thing is, the Prisha doesn't base himself on the Rambam either. And I wonder whether there's a different view in some Rambams. I don't know. The Prisha, his biggest support, which would be the Rambam. He doesn't bring the Rambam. He mentions the Rambam on another issue. He just mentions the Rambam on this thing of Mashveh Tilsi. But he doesn't say that the Rambam is Mashveh. He just uses his own Svora to be Mashveh. The himself didn't bring the Rambam. But that's just an interesting Ksos HaChoshen. The Ksos HaChoshen certainly holds like the Shach, like the Prisha and the Shach, holds that the din of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi is exactly the same as Yad Isho Kiyad Bailo, and the mechanics is the same. The difference, of course, is that a Baal only gets Peiros, and an Odin gets the Guf and the Peiros. But the way the Kinyan works is the same. And the same, and just as the Rambam says, if you matne be Guf Hadover, if you create a Tznai in the Guf Hadover, you can create a gift that the girl can get without her husband having to get any Peiros in it. You can create such a gift, and that works. You can also create a gift for an Eved that the Odin doesn't get anything else. If you use your Lomdus to create a gift, you can create a gift that gets around the owner or the Baal, because there is a way, and Eved is an independent human being, and so is an Isha, and you can give them certain benefits. You just can't give them, you can't transact material assets with them, because the material asset automatically goes back to the Peiros goes to the Baal, and the Guf goes to the Odin, but otherwise they're the same. And the dissenting view is the Taz. The logic of the Taz matches the logic of the Ri, although the Halacha they go in different ways, but the logic of differentiating between Eved and Isha, the Ri and the Taz follow the same school. The Rambam certainly agrees with the Shach, the way the Shach learns it. The Shach certainly agrees with the Rambam. The Taz is on a different track. The Taz gives a reason which we found difficult, because it made the Chachomim very much like Rabbi Meir. Unless you learn like the bottom of Tosfos, where Tosfos says, Ein Achinami, the Chachomim and Rabbi Meir are really arguing
not about their own views, but about the way you, Rabbi Meir, define it, then it would be different. And Re has this problem in the way he works it out. So you would either have to say the Taz goes the same way, or the possible Chiddush that we raised is that the using the Taz's logic but not the Taz's conclusion, it's possible to give an Eved a gift on a Tznai that he uses it for Chayrus, because at the moment of Chayrus he gets both the money and he gets the Chayrus, and that's unique to Hilchos Avodim. It doesn't apply to Hilchos Ishus, and that's why we find it here. What's interesting is the Rambam paskins like Shmuel. That means he holds it's at the root. This is an Indian of Mominus. Is that right? That's why he paskins like Shmuel. If he holds at the root it's an Indian like Mominus, one could understand why the Rambam sees Eved and Isha as the same. We're dealing about Kinyonim. Here's Kinyonim. And here's Kinyonim. Yad Isha Kiyad. That's what the Gemara says. Yad Isha Kiyad Eved. Kiyad Baila. Just like Yad Eved. If you're dealing with Kinyonim, they're the same. The Shulchan Aruch, who brings a Yeshomim like Rav, Paskins with any sugya, paskins like Rav. So he holds that the sugya in the Dorim is about Issa v'Heter, it's not about Kinyan. So one might understand, another support for the Taz, why the Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to Avodim, you can't use the sugya in the Dorim. The sugya in the Dorim is about the Dorim, and it's about Issa v'Hanor, and it's about an Isha and Isha. It's not about Avodim. Now we're doing about Fesh and Mishpatiki Inyonim. We're talking about, or in the Shulchan Aruch's case, Yerodeyadiki Inyonim. We're dealing about the Hilchos Avodim with a Kinyan of a Yad. That's a different thing. There we've got to go by the Gemara and Kiddushin. And all we find in the Gemara Kiddushin is Chedus. We don't find Achilo and Shtia. So the Shulchan Aruch might just be going, again, supporting the Taz, might be going very specifically. Since I hold like Rav, that means that I hold that the Sugi and the Dorim is not about Kinyonim, it's about Nedorim, unlike the Rambam. In that point, and that point only, the Shulchan Aruch is chilek with the Rambam. The Rambam clearly says that the issue is Mominus, and that's why he paskins like Shmuel. The Shulchan Aruch says, in Nedorim I paskin like Rav, everywhere else I paskin like Shmuel. So one might understand another view of the Taz as to why we've got to separate these two out. Avodim and Isha are not the same, and Avodim is only Cheirus, because that's all our Sugi talks about. Either Sugi and Nedorim speaks about Amanashi, Tzotochi, Boy, and Batilbashi, and so on. That's Nedorim. That's what I think we can't learn from there to here. It's how the Shulchan Aruch might be learning according to the Taz. Okay, that's the sugya. For next week, I don't have the Marim Akomas yet, but I would like to go on to the next Ksesa Choshen. So I'll send you, as I work through it, I'll send you what I'm looking at, but you can already look at the Marim Akomas. Don't necessarily try and work out the Ksesa Choshen yet, but if you can start looking at the next Sifkot and Ksesa Choshen, which is our Odin Kone Gam Haguf, it's still in the same sugya. So you'll see what he brings are the things we're going to have to look at. So you can start preparing that way for next Sunday. Yeah. Okay, very good. On vacation. Have a good time, enjoy. Yeah.